According to the writer of Hebrews, the protos stands for the present time. In rabbinic terminology, olam hazeh, this present world. And as long as we're in this present world, a period of time which extends through the end of the Messianic era, then the temple has significance. It has standing. It's all protos. It's not about whether or not the temple is physically standing, because even when it's not, the Temple Mount's still there, Jerusalem is still there, and it will be rebuilt, and it will be rebuilt in this present world. It's not as confusing as it seems. The protos of the sanctuary represents this present world. The deuteros, the world to come. So the writer makes it clear that the protos is connected with the first covenant, deuteros with the new covenant, and by way of association, we learn that the old covenant is the covenant of this present world, which means that we're kind of still in the old covenant. But we got a foot in the new covenant, and that's the hope. We got this messianic hope. We have this messianic faith. But in terms of our daily life and reality, well, yeah, we're still in the flesh. Yeah, we're still alive. We're still in this present world. But we have this hope. Where is this hope realized? It's realized in the resurrection and the world to come. Okay, he says, he goes on with this. He's thinking. He says, according to this arrangement, world to come, this world, Holy of Holies, holy place. According to this arrangement, gifts and sacrifices are offered. Where are they offered? Are they offered in the Holy of Holies? No, they're offered out in the protos. Gifts and sacrifices are offered in this present world, in the protos, that cannot perfect the conscience of the worshiper. They don't make you perfect for salvation, but they deal only with food and drink and various washings, baptisms, regulations for the body, for the flesh, clean and unclean states, imposed until the time of the Reformation, until the world to come, until the time of the world to come. So let's recapitulate a little bit what we've learned. We've learned that the idea that the temple symbolized the old covenant is wrong. It's more than that. Temple symbolized the protos and the deuteros, this world, the world to come. And therefore, he says that gifts and sacrifices today, present tense, are being sacrificed at the temple in Jerusalem only in regard to the physical stuff of this present world. And he says in Hebrews 9:13 that these things sanctify the flesh, which is correct. The Torah never says, bring me a lamb and your sins will be forgiven and you'll have eternal life. It never says, sacrifice a bull and you'll go to heaven. It never says, you know, sacrifice a goat and you will have a share in the resurrection. But the one-time sacrifice for the world to come is symbolized in the deuteros of the temple. The deuteros covenant for the world to come. Think about this. One thought that, you know, we talk about, okay, he went through the veil. He's resurrected and he went through the veil into the deuteros. Well, what would that mean to go into the deuteros? It means to go into the world to come. It means he passed from this present world. The sacrifice took place in this protos because the altar is in the protos. The place of sacrifice is in the protos. So the sacrifice took place in the protos, in this world. But then from this world, he passed through the veil into the deuteros, into the world to come. How did he do that? He did that because he was in a resurrected state, which is the state of the deuteros. So in other words, he has already entered the world to come. And the world to come is not linear. It's not chronologically linear like that. Like, oh, it's not the world to come yet. When does the world to come get here anyway? But he's already passed into the world to come. It's standing. The world to come is standing at the same time, just like the Holy of Holies was standing at the same time as the rest of the temple. And this is what's being depicted on Yom Kippur, when the high priest will go into the Holy of Holies. Once a year. What does this all mean? It means that as regards to here on earth, you make your sacrifices at the temple, Because those sacrifices pertain to bodily, physical existence here on earth. Rituals for the tangible, revealed world on this side of the veil. Things that apply until the restoration, until the reformation, and the world to come. And then we enter the world to come at the resurrection, which means the sacrificial services still apply and will apply until the world to come. But it also means that those sacrificial services are only efficacious in regard to issues of this present world, and they were never efficacious to bring someone into the world to come. That explains a lot. When Christ appeared as high priest of the good things that have come, ESV says, Greek says, are to come. It's a big difference. Then through the greater, more perfect tent, not made with hands, that is not of this creation, through Olam Haba, symbolized by the Deuteros, my insertion, he entered once for all into the Holy of Holies. Not by means of the blood of goats and calves, but by the means of his own blood, thus securing eternal redemption. And it says, for it's not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sins. If that's the case, what were the sacrifices ever for in the first place? Which is the last question I think we need to answer. It begs that question. So, okay, all right, I got it. Sacrifices weren't for the world to come. Then what's the point? Why would you bother bringing a sacrifice? I mean, poor goat, right? But Hebrews answers this too. It says, if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of goats and bulls and with the ashes of the heifer sanctifies for the purification of the flesh, how much more will the blood of Christ, the Messiah, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without blemish to God, purify our conscience from dead works to serve the living God. This is a Kolb-Vahomer argument, a common rhetorical device, which goes like this. If such and such is true, how much more so is such and such? But the thing is, for this rhetorical device to work, the first thing has to be true for the second thing to also be true, more so. So, if the first thing isn't true, then the argument falls apart. You see what I'm saying? If I was really quick, I could think of a funny example, but I can't. If the sacrifices, here's the argument. He says, if the sacrifices sanctified and purified the flesh in regard to this present world and within the earthly temple, then how much more so does the blood of Messiah sanctify and purify the spirit, the neshama, in regard to the world to come and the heavenly temple. That's the argument he's making. But if the first thing's not true, if the sacrifices didn't actually do anything for the body, then the argument falls apart. If we read it like this, for if the sprinkling of defiled persons with the blood of bulls and goats with the ashes of a heifer didn't do a darn thing, how much more will the blood of Christ not do a darn thing? You see what I'm saying? Okay, all right, that's the argument. So again, we see the sacrifices have a role and a function in this world. In the book of Hebrews, they have a role and a function in this world, but their scope is limited. Just like the Aaronic priesthood is limited to this world, to the venue of the earthly temple. Whereas Messiah's sacrifice applies to the venue of the heavenly temple. Two different venues again. It's not that Messiah's sacrifice ended the temple sacrifices. It's that they're totally different things. Totally different functions. It's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin and purify a person for participation in the world to come. That's not their job. It's like trying to change a light bulb with a hammer.